This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Work on something in your life for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Work on a project. Work on something hack so that you can come on the Day of Judgment and stand before Allah Azza wa Jal proud with something that you offered His deen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers in Islam, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering and to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Subhanallah. Yani we arrived late, but alhamdulillah, we made the salat behind the imam. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept. Inshallah ta'ala, just within a few minutes, perhaps I will share with you some reflections from a short surah in the Quran, as opposed to that which is normal of the Sheikh giving a reminder from the ayat that he recited. I'll share with you something from Juz' Amma, right towards the end, a surah that we have all memorized, and that is Surah Al-Asr. Surah Al-Asr, Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلا هذه الصورة لكفتهم. Imam Al-Shafi'i, when praising this surah and describing this surah in a few words, he said something powerful. He said, if this was the only surah that Allah had revealed, if this was the only surah, nothing else, then it would have been sufficient evidence among mankind or upon mankind. It would have been sufficient evidence. Everything they need to do in life is found within this surah. Every reminder they need is within this surah, and every warning is within this surah. So these are powerful words from Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. Let's explore his words and see why did he exactly say that. Allah Azza wa Jal began this surah by taking an oath, and taking an oath by Al-Asr. He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wal-Asr, I swear by time. And everyone's Asr is different. Your Asr is your existence from the day you were born until you die. And that differs from person to person. Allah Azza wa Jal is taking an oath by your time. And since Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by your time, that in and of itself teaches us how great time is. إِذِ الْعَظِيمُ لَا يُقْسِمُ إِلَّا بِعَظِيمٍ. The great Allah Azza wa Jal only takes an oath by that which is great. So Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us the importance of time just by taking an oath by Al-Asr. Well, Asr, it comes from the word Asara. Asara means to squeeze something. So the idea is like your existence. Think of an orange. You take an orange and you squeeze it with your hands. When you start squeezing, the juice starts to come out at the beginning. It flows. And you continue to squeeze until the final drops. Then it starts dropping. And then that's it. There's no more drops. It's finished. And you throw it. This is what Al-Asr is. Yani this is time being squeezed from you. You're coming towards the end of your life. That orange is about, it's dropping. It's at a low flow now. A few more drops and you're put into your grave. Wal-Asr. The word Al-Asr, it implies a sense of urgency within us. That there's no more time. We're being squeezed to the very final day of our lives. And the time that we have on earth is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. And indeed from the greatest of blessings. Just before Surah Al-Asr is Surah At-Takathur. And the last ayah in Surah At-Takathur is what? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Surely you'll be questioned about the many blessings. And then the next surah, Wal-Asr. I swear by time. The relationship between the two surah is that from the greatest na'im that Allah has given you is your time on earth. Every single day you live to witness is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would wake up in the morning, the first word he would say, the first word, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. He praises Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because he realizes it's a blessing. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal upon the blessing. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to you, Allah, that you gave me life after you had caused my death, and to you is the return. He would say, Alhamdulillah. He would recognize the blessing of time. My brothers in Islam, this is a matter that is supposed to be emphasized, especially in this day and age. In this day and age of play and entertainment, how many waste their time on play and entertainment and joy and sports and hangouts? And the time is going. And what kind of benefit have they filled their time with? Well, shaitan has deceived and fooled mankind. And so our attitude now, even as parents with our children, we say, he's young, leave him, let him play, let him eat and sleep and drink and entertain himself, leave him, he's young now, he has a whole life ahead of him, then he's got school, then he's got university, then he needs to get married, boy's busy. And there is no emphasis upon a deen and Islamic teachings and Islamic values and morals. But the idea is, yani, the youthful age is the age of learning. It's the age of learning a deen. It is the age of memorizing. It is the age of understanding. Later on, there is no time for this. Yani, the age of learning your deen is in the youthful age now. Well, shaitan has fooled and tricked and deceived mankind to believe that that's an age of play and sleep and rest and do as you wish. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was very evident in his life how he was very concerned for the education of the youth of the Sahaba. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is riding with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says to him, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. Young boy, huh? Ghulam. That's the point. Ghulam is 9, 8, 9, 10 years old. That's ghulam. And what is he teaching him? Ihfaz Allah yahfazk. Safeguard Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will safeguard you and protect you. Safeguard Allah, meaning do that which Allah Azza wa Jalla commands you. Worship Allah, and Allah would protect you. He's talking like this to an 8, 9 year old, alongside many other things. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. And then he says to him, واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. Incredible. He's saying to him, the last sentence, he says to him, boy, young boy, you better know that if the entire world was to gather to harm you with something, they will never be able to harm you with anything except that which Allah has written against you. The point is, this is an 8-year-old boy. Today, If I took an 8-year-old boy and I sat with him and I said to him, young man, you better learn that if the entire ummah, if all the disbelievers, if all of them were together to harm you with something, they will never be able to harm you except with that which Allah has written against you. People say, what's wrong with you? Why are you scaring the kid? Why are you talking to him such a language? He's an 8-year-old boy. Why are you scaring him? Which ummah is gonna gather and come together to harm a young boy? What are you talking about? Wouldn't we say this to each other and among one another? Yet we find the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching a sahaba from a very young age what type of belief they're supposed to have. This is the youthful age. It is to be filled with the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and the correct belief and the attitude and the approach about who Allah Azza wa Jal is. Sometimes they advertise the names of Allah Azza wa Jal as a weekend seminar. Come over for the weekend for a few hours and we're going to learn the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's good, a starting point. But don't ever think that the names of Allah is a weekend course. This is the greatest knowledge that a child is supposed to have. And all of us, as we grow, your asr is supposed to be filled with the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla and learning about Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is beyond the weekend seminar. Yani there is a story that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, the story of الذي مر على قرية وهي خاوية على عروشها. There was a man, Allah A'lam, some say it was Uzair alayhi salam, others say perhaps it was another ambiguous man. He passed by a town. This town was Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem. وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. It was completely abandoned, dead. There's houses, but there's no dwellers. There are wells, but there's no water. It's a ghost town. He passed by and he was on his donkey and he had some food with him. This is a story Allah mentions in the Quran. He says, أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. He looked at it and he said, how can Allah revive this after its death? How can Allah bring life back into this city after it has died? Even he said, أَنَّ يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ. He observed the problem before the solution. He did not say, أَنَّ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ هَذِهِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. He said, أَنَّ يُحْيِي هَذِهِ. هَذِهِ is the problem. Allah is the solution. He looked at the problem before the solution. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. Allah caused him to die for 100 years. Then He resurrected him. And He sent him an angel, and the angel said to him, كَمْ لَبِثْتْ. How long did you stay here for? He said to him, يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Maybe day or part of a day. So then the angel corrected him. He said to him, بَلْ لَبِثْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. You were dead for 100 years. I think, you know what, 100 years? We haven't even reached 100 years. Then he says to him, فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ لَمْ يَتَسَنَّهُ. Look at your food and your drink. It hasn't changed over time. لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ عَبْرَ السِّنِينَ. And that's a miracle, because food is the quickest thing to rot. Put a salad on the table, if you don't eat it in 20 minutes, it's no good. Put any type of food on the table, half an hour, 1 hour max, you can't eat it anymore, right? It's lost that taste and that quality. But Allah Azza wa Jal preserved the quality of His food, even though after 100 years, as a sign. لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ. 100 years ago when he dropped dead, his donkey dropped dead with him as well. And his donkey was only bones. He can see bones. Allah Azza wa Jal says to him, watch. وَانْظُرْ وَانْظُرْ. Look, look. إِلَى الْعِظَامِ كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا ثُمَّ نَكْسُوهَا لَحْمًا. Look at the bones now. Watch the bones. They're going to hack automatically. By the permission of Allah, they're going to all of a sudden rise. And then نَكْسُوهَا لَحْمًا. And then we're going to dress the bones with meat and flesh. And really, he's sitting there. and the skeletal structure of his same donkey comes back together, like Lego pieces being put back together, and then it becomes dressed with meat and flesh and skin, and it's his donkey once again alive. You know why I mentioned all this? Because at the end he said, قَالَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He says, now I recognize Allah is capable over all things. Yani it took him 100 years to learn that Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. 100 years to learn this one lesson. Now he's absolutely convinced. Now next time he walks past the dead town, he will not question. He knows that Allah azza wa jal can bring life into it whenever he wants. 100 years to learn one name of Allah, one attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you spent an entire lifetime learning a name of Allah azza wa jal, you have something to stand before Allah azza wa jal with on the day of judgment. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person is asked on the day of judgment, عن عمره فيما أبلاه وعن أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه. Notice, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that a person is questioned on the Day of Judgment about his life. How did he use it? And about his youthful age. What did he do with it? You see, al-umr, age, and youthful age. The youthful age is included in your life. But the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, you will have a general question about all your life, and a specific question about your youthful age. Why? Because that was the productive time. That was time of productivity. Later on, a person gets older, becomes more difficult, right? Perhaps you cannot maintain your wudu for all your prayers. And perhaps you cannot pray standing and making sujood as you used to in your youthful age. So the youthful age is an age of productivity. That's where you start fasting and you pray, use that energy to come into al-masjid, memorize the Quran, because the mind can memorize, try to understand, sit down in the lessons while you can and your back is still good. Huh? And we still tell our children, nah, this is an age of play and rest and games and go sit on your Xbox and on your PlayStation and enjoy yourself. And then what does he do later on? After the age of 40. See, the youthful age is up until the age of 40. Past the age of 40, khalas, we finished al-shabab. You see, this is the age of productivity here. There's never be fooled by say later on. Now, this is what's required. It's at this moment. That's where the maximum strength and energy is. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he states a serious fact, a warning. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. I swear by time and I swear to it that the human being is immersed in deep loss. هَذَا لَفِي. You're not just on the surface of loss. We are covered by loss. لَفِي. There's loss above us, underneath us, right and left of us. Wherever we look, there's loss. That's the state of the human being. Inna al-insan, and then inna al-mu'akkidat, inna and then the lam. Yani surely, certainly, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. And then again, surely, certainly, the human being is in immense loss. Khusr. And that's the state of people. Look at the state of people. Look at the heedlessness all around us. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, illa, Allahu Akbar. This word illa, it implies hope. It gives hope. Yani it's like we walk into a classroom and we say, everyone has failed the exam, except, these are open, who's that? Right? And imagine now on a greater level, Allah is the one who's seeing. All of mankind is in loss, except, this is where the ears are supposed to open to see my Lord. What is it? What is the path that if I adopt and take by, I'm saved from this loss? Because if Allah declares a person a loser, then هذا خسر الدنيا والآخرة. He loses both worlds. Four qualities Allah Azza wa Jal mentions. This is why Imam al-Shafi'i said this is the greatest of the surah in terms of its proof and evidence against mankind. It has enough warning in it. And that's when Allah would say to us, we're all in loss. And it has enough hope in it when Allah Azza wa Jal will tell us the path out of loss. Number one, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe. Then your asr, your time is supposed to be filled with amanu, belief. Working a lifetime on your belief and on your iman in Allah Azza wa Jal, as we said. Amanu. هذا the first thing you're supposed to work on, al-iman. And the first of them, al-imanu billah, belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. Every single day you need to learn something about Allah. And you hold yourself to account and ask yourself, what did you learn today about Allah Azza wa Jal that brings you closer to Him? Even if it's something small, doesn't matter what it is. Walhamdulillah, and wallahi, I was very, very excited to hear that in the masjid here, there is daily fajr reminders. Allahu Akbar, where does this happen around the world? MashaAllah, this is indeed a blessing, wallahi, a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal upon the community of this area. So take advantage of this. So you're doing nothing. Use your legs to come to al-masjid, salat al-fajr, earn reward in that. Sit down, listen to a lecture. And while you're sitting, this is the best time, in a time to remember Allah Azza wa Jal, barakah in this time. And while you're sitting, be aware of the fact that amanu, this is what I'm exercising right now. I am exercising al-iman. Yani don't detach this sitting of yours from this ayah. You know, often they speak about tadabbur al-Qur'an, and act by the Qur'an, and what does it mean? Oh, this is what it means. This is it, right here. This is a practical implementation of amanu. When you sit down building on your iman, increasing your belief in Allah through His word. Amanu. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they don't only believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and learn about Allah and have knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal within their hearts, but this iman that is within the heart now, it's translated onto their limbs. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they act righteously. Then no, righteous deeds and righteous acts is from al-iman as well. It's from al-iman. So وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And iman that is of benefit is the iman that is practiced in your life. The knowledge that you gain and you learn, when you act upon it, that is what we want. That knowledge there is called beneficial knowledge. And that is what will benefit you on the day of judgment. Knowledge that you have and is not practiced in your life, that's called information. So called beneficial knowledge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every morning after salat al-fajr, as in the hadith of Salama radiallahu anha, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman dafi'a, without raising the hand, because the dua that is done at this time, there is no raising the hand in it. He would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a, oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. He would say this every single day, teaching us that one of the objectives and goals of the day is to have some beneficial knowledge. And what is al-ilmu al-nafi'? What is beneficial knowledge exactly? It's knowledge that is practiced. They memorize this. Knowledge that is implemented is called beneficial knowledge. When I know that the fire burns, and then I move my hands away from it, that knowledge is beneficial knowledge. But if I knew the fire burns and I put my hand and I burnt it, that means I only had information. I didn't have beneficial knowledge. I didn't benefit from it. And so similarly, when you have knowledge of Islam and knowledge of Iman, and you apply it in your life, oh, that's beneficial knowledge. But if not implemented, this is information. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those who apply their knowledge. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And righteous deeds are called الصَّالِحَاتِ. You know, as-salihat, it comes from the word saluha, to fix something. right? When a car is in need of fixing, they go, tasliḥ sayarat, fix the car. Because righteous deeds, that's what they do. They fix our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. It's like the human being during the day, his relationship with Allah, it wears and tears away, right? Just like clothing. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, "Inna al-Iman la yakhlaq fi jawfi ahadikum kama yakhlaq al-thawb." That a person's iman, it wears and tears away, just like his clothes wears and tears away. فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Continuously ask Allah to renew and replenish and refresh al-iman that is within your hearts. Not just by sitting and saying, "Oh Allah, refresh al-iman in my heart," but by doing the actions that refresh al-iman and strengthen that relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. So the deeds were called salihat because they fix between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why we pray 5 times a day. Because this is our relationship with Allah. How many moments of the day we forget about Allah Azza wa Jal? We're heedless about Allah Azza wa Jal. We commit sin, we transgress, we rebel, we disobey. We say a word that is not pleasing to Allah, we don't take notice of it. We deal in manners that are displeasing to Allah. So the relationship gets broken over time. And it needs to be fixed. And you cannot delay this matter. And this requires urgent attention. So وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, plural, righteous deeds, to teach you that there's many. Reading Al-Qur'an, wal-istighfar, wal-salat, wal-sadaqa, wal-zakat, wal-ramadan, wal-hajj, visiting the graveyard and the cemeteries, and an abundance of salihat. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ is for you. These two matters fix you up, make you prepared and ready. And then the final two things is how you fix others and how you contribute to society. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they also advise and encourage one another upon الحق, upon the truth. يعني, what's the الحق? الحق لا إله إلا الله. الحق is الإيمان والإسلام. وتواصل بالحق is الدعوة إلى الله. They teach one another. الدعوة is not just to sit here and have a microphone and speak. الدعوة in your family, in your household, that's where it's first required. الدعوة to those around you. الدعوة through your manners and your character. الدعوة through your dealings with others and with society. That all of it is a da'wah. See, Islam, they always say and mention, Islam entered Indonesia via the tradesmen of Al-Yaman. Why do they always mention this? To tell you that these people embraced Islam after what they saw of business dealings. Shufa da'wah, that's how Islam spread in Indonesia, on the hands of Al-Yamanis, with dealing. How are they going to speak their language? But they say, saw the honesty, khalas, this was a da'wah in and of itself. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, the believers among one another, they advise and support and encourage one another upon the truth, upon goodness. And you see the word وَتَوَاصَوْا, he said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا. You see the word تَوَاصَوْا, it comes from the word وَصَّى, and it's linked to the word وَصِيَّة. And what is الْوَصِيَّة? When we say الْوَصِيَّة, they call it the will of the dying person, al-wasiyah, him to write a will. You see, when a person is dying and writing a will, he's very honest. Who lies when he writes a wasiyah? There's no point to lie, man, he's going. So a statement at the time of death is the most honest, humbled, yani, advice a person could ever say in his life. So the idea of watawaso, meaning when they encourage one another upon the good, they are absolutely honest in it, with the attitude as though a person is dying, full of honesty and compassion and kindness and care and wanting good for others. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And then وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. See, remaining firm upon al-Iman wal-Islam and its teachings, and continuously reminding one another, like now and then tomorrow and then after tomorrow, and keep doing this, is difficult. It's not easy, right? There's difficulty in this. Any work that you do for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, there's always difficulty in it. So they advise and encourage one another upon patience. They say to each other, hang on. Be patient. Remain patient. Don't forget who we're doing this for. Don't forget the reward that is coming from behind this. Very soon we'll all die. We'll all depart this worldly life. We'll all be put in our graves. Rest is coming. Rest is coming. A day will come in where you will pray your last fajr and no more fajr after this. A day will come in which you carry the mushaf for the last time and you will not read an ayah ever after this that will increase you in iman and hasanat and so on. Khalas, that's all done. A day will come in which you won't be sitting here anymore for al-fajr reminders. Khalas, it'll be done. That's it. A day will come which you don't have to work hard and earn this wealth and give fi sabilillah. You don't have to do this anymore. Khalas. A day is coming. And so we sit with each other and we remind one another, bis sabr, be patient. A day is coming. It's going to come a day. Khalas. You will not sit here. You will not have to learn anymore and practice anymore. No more salat, no nothing. So we advise each other upon patience. You see, yani, when we execute worships, you sit in the lecture, there's pain, there's suffering, there's struggle, maybe someone's sleepy. All of these words, get rid of them from your dictionary and replace it with the word as-sabr. Because this is the reality of the matter. Every pain that you endure for the sake of Allah, that's actually called sabr. And that's being rewarded for. Right? And every agony, and every struggle, and every difficulty in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, don't use these words, put them on the side. Use the word as-sabr. فَعْبُدْهُ وَاسْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient, and this is what it is, and patience, there is reward. And not any type of patience. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Be patient like the mighty noble messengers. This is not any kind of patience. We want patience like the patience of prophets and the best of them. That's the type of patience we want to exercise in our lives. My brothers in Islam, work on something in your life for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Work on a project. Work on something hack so that you can come on the day of judgment and stand before Allah Azza wa Jal proud with something that you offered His deen. You know, Sahaba radiallahu anhum are going to come on the day of judgment. And their asr was filled with sacrifice. Can you think Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu will come, Ya Allah, 5,000 ahadith I memorized for this ummah. This was my personal project in life. I wanted to your pleasure and the paradise because of this great act and deed that I did. Others will come, Oh Allah, and I fought for your sake. And I sacrificed for your sake. Huh? Here's my limb, I gave it for your sake. And I'm hoping the paradise for this. Prophets will come. Their greatest project in life, they'll say, Oh Allah, every second of our life was spent calling for you. And what are you going to come with on the day of judgment? What's this big thing you're working on? What is this massive project you're working on that you're looking forward to meet Allah Azza wa Jal with on the day of judgment? Heck, Oh Allah, this is a masjid I built for your sake. This is an orphanage I built for your sake to look after orphan children. This is the Quran that I memorized for your sake so that I can change the world with this word that of yours. What is your project in life? This is how your asr should be filled. Should work on something that is going to deplete your energy and drain you. One thing, something. See what it is. You could be different to him, he could be different to him, whatever it is, but what's this big thing that you're looking forward to see Allah Azza wa Jal with? That's, your asr is supposed to be filled with that. And that's the idea of at-tawasi bil-haq wa at-tawasi bil-sabr. Work on something. See what is in your capacity to do, even if you had to go out of your way. Yani, and I remember there was a man who, he was a millionaire, had billions of wealth. And he would think and he would sit to himself and say, Allah, yani look at the people. When they die, their children are fighting over their wealth and over their inheritance and so on. Who's going to remember me? By a sadaqah or a dua? Who? All I can see is the children of these people that have passed away. They're fighting over this wealth and they're just using it and enjoying it the way they want. So he said, you know what? I don't know why we saved this wealth. I'm going to use it to build my afterlife with it. And he began going from country to country, building masajid, purchasing al-masahif, putting it in these masajid, working so that when he dies, I don't rely on anyone. If they did a hasana on my behalf, for good. If they didn't, well, I've already done for myself. There was a man that said, Anna, my project in life is to record 1,000 lectures about Allah and release them for the ummah. I want to meet Allah Azza wa Jal having done this for his sake. That's big work. Whatever it is, what is your effort? What's this big thing you're working on, you're filling your asr with? Anyway, this is, I hope it was a short reminder. Finally, we say, Allah Azza wa Jal began this surah with the word, wal asr. And then he ended it with the word, as-sabr. And the middle word was, al-khusr, or khusr. The idea is, fill your asr, your time, with sabr. Otherwise, the human being is in khusr. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from loss. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness in our lifetime, in our time that we spend on earth. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us min awliya'ihi as-salihin. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings, to accept from us innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayh. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Forgive us.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Jazakallahu khair, Shaykh Abu Bakr. That was amazing, powerful reminder. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make those who fill the asr with something beneficial. Barakallahu fiqh. That was very, very powerful. And we're very honored to have Shaykh Abu Bakr this morning. And alhamdulillah, historic Fajr reflection, which we will remember and give us the booster for the next, inshallah ta'ala, many weeks and months to come, bi'idhnillah. And we would like to have you again, inshallah ta'ala, Shaykh. This is not going to be your first and the last, inshallah ta'ala. We were honored to have you last night and also honored to have you this morning. And hopefully we will continue to have you again as well, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. Dear brothers, we need to come and show our love to our Shaykh, inshallah ta'ala. Fajr reflection hugs, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to thank the team that came with the Shaykh as well. Jazakumullah, brother Uthman and brother Naveed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. MashaAllah, they persevered, alhamdulillah, bringing the Shaykh to our masjid and to other masajids as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. We want to show you love as well, brother Naveed and brother Uthman as well. Barakallahu feekum.